by the friends, grabbed all the animals, and then they entered in. 7 days, seven nights, they waited for the rain. Then the sky had opened up, and for 40 days it came. We gotta walk, we gotta work, we gotta warm, we gotta win. Jesus Christ has said that he is coming again. Living in a wicked world plagued by sin. We gotta walk, we gotta work, we gotta warm, we gotta win.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
it will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
'Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And we have done that again. Good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We are coming to you live this Saturday morning, the last Saturday of November. We've had a few of those lasts before, and but we are coming to you live from the Radio Ranch this 11th month, 28th day of the year of our Lord, 2020. We thank you, the remnant, for joining us, and we've got a full crew this morning, so we'll bring them on and welcome them on. And John, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
And Jason, good morning to you.
Good morning.
And Tim from Nebraska, good morning and happy couple days after Thanksgiving. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning. Good morning. Glad to be here.
And again, we say good morning to you, the remnant. We welcome you here. It's a live radio program. Phone lines are open this morning, 307-745-5913. If you have a question or a comment you'd like to call in, lots going on in the world, as always. We'll be glad to take your call. But we're going to open up with prayer first. We continue to remind you to do that, to hopefully encourage you to do that, no matter what you're doing, whether it is a radio program or a trip across the country or any event, it needs to be opened in prayer. And John, we're going to look to you to to open that up for us, sir.
Sure. Well, Heavenly Father, in this week of Thanksgiving, Lord, we offer thanks for all of the many blessings that you give us. Father, we ask that you would forgive us for the things that we take for granted, and there are many. But Lord, your word says we're to be thankful for all things, so we also thank you for the trials and the tribulations and the testing that we're going through right now. That your word says, refine us into the men and women that you want us to be to serve in your kingdom. So easy just to forget about thanking you for the difficulties in our lives. But Lord, we know that you know best, and that your ways are not our ways, and that there are things that you do that we don't understand. But we know that what you do is right, and because we love you, trust you, believe you, and obey in you, Father, we're in agreement with whatever it is that you decide. Lord, your word says in Romans 8:28 that you work all things for good for those that love you and abide in you and are called by your purpose. And if we are born again of the water and the Spirit, if we abide in you, then we qualify for that promise as well. Father, we continue to pray. We cry out, Lord, and an appeal to heaven for you to save America again. And although the world thinks that all is lost and that we're heading into dark days, Lord, we know that you're still on the throne. And your word says in Psalm 2 that they make their plans and you sit in the heavens and you laugh and you scoff at them. Father, we know that in order to overcome a Red Sea predicament, the first thing that you have to have is a Red Sea predicament, and it does appear that we're being brought into one of those Red Sea predicaments. But we trust, Lord, in you. We know that you will protect those that are yours. We know that there's no greater weapon than the precious, holy, cleansing, healing, protective blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, whether it be offensively or defensively. Lord, we pray that the things that were done in the dark would be brought to the light and shouted from the rooftops, and we're seeing that, Lord, and we thank you for that. We continue to pray that you send confusion into the camp of the enemy, that they turn upon one another and devour one another, and we're seeing that as well. And Lord, right now we're praying for righteous judgment, Lord, that all the wicked, vile, evil things that these people do would be brought down upon their head. Father, that they would fall in the pits that they dig and be ensnared in the traps that they lay. That those that could, Lord, I ask that you would remove the scales from their eyes and unstop their ears, and even now that they'd fall upon their face and cry out and ask for forgiveness. Father, we thank you for this time that you set aside this morning for your people who are called by your name to come together and to encourage one another to love and good deeds. We ask that you would guide and direct our thoughts. Give us wisdom, understanding, and discernment with regards to what it is that's important to your people, the remnant. Father, show us the things that are going on in the world and how they tie into your prophecy and into your scripture. We continue to pray for those that are yours, Lord. Put a hedge of angels, a ring of fire, and a shield of light around them that no evil can penetrate. Put angels above them, below them, to left, to right, front and behind them, keep them safe. We give you all the praise and all the glory in the name above all other names, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Yes. Yes, hallelujah. Well, Remnant, the phone lines are open this morning. If you're with us this Saturday morning after Thanksgiving, 307-745-5913. And we'd be glad to take your call. I've taken several calls and many emails and texts from the Remnant around the country. I've been sharing Thanksgiving blessings and encouragements to one another that, yes, we do have much to be thankful for. It is this time of year, this Thanksgiving that comes from the feast days of old that has carried over into our society It's this American society, this American Christian society, that the holiday of Thanksgiving began. If you're not familiar with the story, we carry the book, The Light and the Glory, that outlines it, that explains it, that shows in the writings of Brewster and the leaders of the Pilgrims, in their writings. You don't have to read what somebody else wrote about it. You can read what they said about it, and how the first Thanksgiving came about. And so if you'd like that, we continually offer the Thanksgiving packet. It includes the little the treaties that Pastor Peters did that summarizes mainly from The Light and the Glory what the true Thanksgiving story is. And so many people have forgotten, or they've just never been taught what that is. You know, that many people have just been brought up that, well, it's the parade and the big blow up floats and football and beer and food and to so many, because they are apart from God and apart from Christ, that's all that it is. It's just a super long weekend, but there's so much more to it. There is. And so if you're not familiar with it, or if you are familiar with it and you want to share it with others, we do have that the information on the real, the true Thanksgiving story. And you know, being thankful for what we have is certainly all but lost in this society today, in our land. It truly is. Well, guys, the phone line's ringing first thing this morning, so we'll go to that. And good morning, and welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hello.
Yes. Good morning.
Hey, this is Terry Morgan.
Good morning, Terry.
Hey, just called to let you guys know, hey, I made it out of the hospital. Thank you, Jesus.
Awesome to hear that.
I had quite the experience down there with some family members over this corona thing. And all I could do is say, sis, Jesus. You know, that's what we need to rely on. That's what I'm relying on. I'm not scared like you guys are with this coronavirus. You know, we know it's a lie. I just got out of the hospital, you know, and you're making me feel, you know, like, crazy for even asking for help. They helped me. My sister was glad to help me, but you know, just trusting man over God is the issue, man.
Amen.
So that, I just wanted to say thank you guys for your prayers. God bless you, and keep me in prayers for the healing process. Thank you guys in Jesus' name. Thank you guys.
All right, Terry, we will sure do that.
Have a good day.
All right, God bless. Yeah, Brother Terry up in Oregon. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, that's a rough state to live in these days. It's sure been taken over by the demon rats for sure. Even that Jezebel bitch governor was basically trying to encourage people to rat out their neighbors if they had, you know, more than a couple people at their Thanksgiving gatherings. Yet here, even in Denver, the mayor of Denver said, you shouldn't fly anywhere, you shouldn't drive anywhere, you should just stay home. And then he jets off to Mississippi to spend Thanksgiving with his family. So, you know, do as I say, not as I do. But I think that's a good lead in to this story that I found here last night that I think is significant. John Hopkins study mysteriously disappears after it reveals, in spite of COVID, no more deaths in 2020 than in prior years. And we talked about this before, that it's amazing how they've cured the flu. There's no more deaths from flu. The heart disease is almost cured. And, you know, so many other things, different types of cancer and all this other stuff. And it's all because it's classified as COVID-19 deaths. But even, you know, the CDC, we talked about that, how they said, in reality, only 6% of all the people who died are from, you know, COVID directly. So it's funny how you can wake people up just by saying, you know, really, the only thing that's changed in the last 6 weeks with regards to the threat of COVID-19 is the amount of testing. You know, there's hundreds and thousands, millions being tested. I mean, we have this drive-in test facility close over here, and for the first, I don't know, 6 months, or I don't even know how long it's been anymore, but it's been a while, nobody. They shut the whole parking lot down, inconvenienced everybody in the area, and not one person. But all of a sudden now, 300, 400, 500 cars lined up just to get tested. And, you know, and they've also admitted that the maker of the test, that it's not designed to determine COVID, and it's also false positive. So, like Terry says, it's, you know, it's basically good versus evil, and it's, you know, the, I forget, I don't know exactly what the terminology is, but basically the minority are the crazy ones, you know, and the majority are the ones that are the smart ones. But I guess that's the world we're living in now.
Well, it is. And if, yeah, if you know, Pastor taught on it many times. You know, what is it? What do you do if you're the only sane one in the insane asylum? And it's that, yeah, all the crazy ones, it's all the crazy ones look on you that you're crazy. But it's not that, well, it's what you trust in. And it sure come up in my circles in the last couple of weeks that, you know, the people out there are fearful. They are scared. And they are grasping at anything they can. And they've grasped hold of this mask concept and this socialist distancing concept, and that's going to save them. And so they have great faith in the masks and great faith in the socialist distancing. And but, you know, you contrast that with Isaiah 40:31, where it says, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And it's because those that have, that trust in the Lord, those that have obeyed the word and have done that, have done what we're supposed to do, they fear something else. And, you know, it's called the fear of the Lord. The Bible tells us we obey who we fear, and we're certainly seeing that in our society today. Saw a headline this morning, L.A. County pushing for a three-week, starting Monday, three-week lockdown, three-week stay-at-home that they're pushing for that starting Monday. That's the first 3 weeks of December, for the most part. And there'll be a lot of people that will, oh, okay, it's for our good. It's for our good.
Yeah, it's nice to see there's businesses standing up all over, even in our area, that are saying, no, we're not going to lock down. We'd rather die from COVID than die from starvation and not being able to provide for our families when our businesses go, you know, under. So that's encouraging.
Yeah. The forefathers called that tyranny, right? I mean, that's kind of what it amounted to. Whether it was political affiliation or whatever numbers of things it was that created that situation, it was tyrannical rules. And that's one of the most basic laws. I mean, if you read the Blacks, if you read a lot of the early founding documents, that was one of the things they say, is that one of the most fundamental rights of a human being is the right to be. God created you and put you on the earth, therefore you have a right to be. And that means you have a right to food, and you have a right, if you work for it, you don't have a right to have somebody else's food, but you have a right to provide for yourself. That's one of those rights, you know. I mean, it's the right to exist, because God thought you had a right to exist, or you wouldn't be here. So you are part of his ecosystem. So, yeah. And it's kind of a, I thought it was interesting, kind of talking about your COVID testing. I just found out yesterday, and you find out things, and then you think about them for a while, and it's kind of like the Lord gives you insight, or, you know, it just suddenly kind of goes, oh, wow. But there's some labs around here, even, that are looking for blood donations or advertising for blood donation. And I've noticed the blood donation thing's been way up, but they're paying. They pay so much for a donation. You're allowed to donate, like, you know, so often. I don't know what it is, once a week or something like that. But they're looking for people who have had COVID. They want people who had COVID. They want their blood, and they're paying double the normal price, and they want them to donate twice a week. It's like, that's strange. Wow. But then, Well, I just, like I said, just found out about it yesterday. I was like, so what do you suppose that's all about? It's kind of an interesting thing to me that somebody I knew made a phone call to one of the labs and was asking about it. And there's a lot of documentation they want along with that. They want a definitive documentation that you had COVID. They're not just because, you know, you tested positive. They don't want that. They're going into, like, lab results pretty deeply. They want people that actually had it. And the reason they're paying more, I guess, is because they're having trouble finding anybody. it's kind of a head scratcher. So I don't know. I thought I'd throw that out there for a weird kind of moment.
Yeah, probably to spread it some more too. If they could find some more, then they can taint the blood that's being used.
Or maybe it's a DNA, a receptive DNA receiver that they're interested in that would make it more usable or something. Because, you know, I'm pretty sure it's a genetically engineered virus anyway. So, kind of one of those kind of things.
Mm-hmm. What do you see going on, Jason?
Oh, I see a lot of things. It's kind of crazy right now. Here in Colorado, there's this new shutdown and mandates and all this kind of stuff, but it was kind of interesting. So last week, earlier in the week, they had, Weld County, the county just, it'd be just to the east of us, they had a pretty good shutdown, and basically it was, we're going into wintertime, and I went up there to take Levi out to lunch, and we go to a Mexican restaurant down in Eaton, Colorado, and pull up there, and well, no seating inside. You can't sit inside, but you can sit outside, and so they got a patio out there in front of the place. It's just completely packed with people, you talk about insanity, and it's what I saw was just attack against businesses. You know, here's a restaurant that's trying to survive and trying to cram as many people into a consigned area, but they got to sit outside. Well, we're coming to the time of year where, to tell you the truth, really didn't want to sit outside. It was a little bit chilly. It was darn right cold. And, just ridiculous. And I was over there ordering some grain for some cows and taking care of some stuff at the ranch store. And I stopped and talked to them and asked them how it was affecting them. Well, they weren't worried about it. They weren't wearing masks, and they really didn't care. You know, it's business as usual. The next day when I went to pick up... No, that was the grain elevator. But I did stop by there the day after that. I was down there, and my daughter went with me, and we went down there at lunchtime to pick up the load of grain, and we went into Bruce's, and it was Bruce's is a old time bar and grill that's been around for I don't know how many years. I mean, I've been going there for 20 some years, but it was
famous for Rocky Mountain oysters.
Yeah, it's known for the Rocky Mountain oyster place to go to in basically the state of Colorado. There's people that come from all over to go to it. But we stopped by there.
What those are. Tell people what those are. Let them know. A good source of testosterone.
Yeah, exactly. It was kind of interesting. So we stopped in there and went in there, and I called them before we drove over there, because it's a couple miles off the beaten path, and asked if you're open. I said, you guys open? Yeah, we're open. I said, I can come in the place? I don't have to sit outside. And she laughed, and she's like, no, you can come in. So I went over there, and sure enough, they were open, business as usual. And I said, was sitting there talking for a few minutes with the waitress, and Bruce came out, and he talked to me for a while, and I said, so are they giving you any trouble? And he's like, oh, yeah, they're giving me trouble. But he's like, you know, he said, he's like, I'm at the place where right now if I shut down, I'm shut down. You know, he's like, if I have to shut down again, I'm going out of business. He's like, I've already been shut down before. You know, and he's like, yeah, will people support me? Absolutely. I don't want that, though. You know, I'm in business to make money, and, you know, I've got to make the pace play. I got people that are on the payroll. End of story. So, you know, he said, if I shut down, he's like, you know, then they win. So he's like, now they're, he's like, so I'm just staying open. He's like, they called me and told me I had to shut down. And he said, well, I got my guns ready. That's where it's at. And he said, so now they're threatening to take away my liquor license. They're threatening to take away my food license. He's like, okay, well, you know, basically if they shut it down, that's what they've already done. He's like, I ain't stupid. So, you know, he's just standing up for, you know, for his rights and for his business. And, you know, he said, you know, as long as I can stay open, I'm staying open. You know, and he's like, unless they show up with the tanks and chain the doors and kick me out and take me to jail, we're staying open. And there's several businesses that are making that stand and making that statement. And, you know, good for them.
As long as there's several, the more there are, the better the chance, you know, of nothing happening. And it's even happening
here.
Yeah,
and Weld County is really good. Right now they got a really good campaign, Keep Businesses Open, and there's a list that they're generating that are basically people that are saying, I will not comply. You know, we're not doing it. We're standing together. And it was kind of interesting. So I ran across this thought of the day, and this one was written by Thomas Jefferson, and I thought that it really applies for today. It says, a strong body makes the mind strong. As to the species of exercise, I advise the gun. While this gives moderate exercise to the body, it gives boldness, enterprise, and independence to the mind. Games played with the ball and others of nature are too violent for the body and stamp no character on the mind. Let the gun, therefore, be your constant companion of your walks. Thomas Jefferson.
Amen.
Yeah, I like that.
True. And I think that applies.
Amen.
And I think that that's what people need to be doing. And I'll tell you what, I concur with that 100%. That, you know, mentally exercising and physically exercising to go shooting. And I advise people to do it. Just, you know, be careful with how much ammo you have, and if you don't have it, don't shoot it.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Well, for sure.
You know, the gun shops around here, it's funny because you drive in front of the stores, and they have signs out on their windows.
No ammo.
We have no ammo, or we have no 9mm, no .223, no .40, no .45, no .380, no .357, no .308, no .762x39. I mean, the list just goes on and on. We do not have this, you know, and it's, you know, it's you know, basically unobtainable right now.
Yep.
It is.
Well, you know, it's interesting, too. Weld County is looking to annex into Wyoming, too. Like, literally, seriously.
Yeah, they've got all the paperwork to do it. And they've got the votes on it and everything. So, you know, that's going to be really interesting. And, you know, they're talking about doing the same thing in California and parts of Utah.
Oh, dividing it out, yeah.
Yeah, they're talking about, what is it, the Greater Utah or Greater Oregon area, one of those that...
Oregon's another one, yeah.
Yep, that they're looking to... it's this divide. This different way of living is growing greater and greater. It is.
Well, we've got to know that, or they've got to know, those antichrist, you know, demon rats have got to know that the liberal socialist you know, people are trying everything to be at peace as much as they can, but still follow the dictates of God and their conscience and take care of their information. And, you know, they call it a last ditch effort for a reason. I mean, it's like, well, we're trying to do this, but barring that, things are going to, you know, proceed from, it's going to get a lot rockier for you guys. So at some point they may end up stoned if they don't back off, you know, and quit the lying and the cheating and the stealing and the, it's like Jason says, I've had all I can stand and I can stand no more. You know, I mean, it's like, that's just one of those things. It's, I'm seeing that a lot out here, and I don't think we're pressured nearly as highly, at least in the western part of the state, as a lot of areas. But people out here are, they're observing and watching what's going on, and they know that it's not ringing true or right. And, you know, we've got, what we have out here is we don't have a lot of the mandates that you guys are talking about or that we're seeing like in Colorado or some of the other states. But what we do have out here is we have a complete and total destruction of farming infrastructure as far as prices go and as far as everything else go. I mean, they're just, you know, they're trying to buy cattle for, or they're trying to sell their cattle and they're worth 10 cents less a pound than it costs to raise them. I mean, these kind of things are going on. And, you know, really at the end of the day, Pastor used to say that, what's changed? What's changed from this year to last year in regards to food or anything else? There's still hungry people out there. There's still people who have to eat. According to the population maps, there's more people now than there were last year. So they should need more food, right? I mean, but, suddenly it's not worth anything, you know. So we've seen a lot of that kind of stuff go on. And
yeah, what you're seeing though too is a lot of these big ranches. I mean, we're starting to see advertisements on the radio and stuff of these big ranches that are starting to just butcher and sell their beef on their own. And
yes,
they're like, we'll sell you better beef, you know,
right.
Better
yep.
Than better
brands,
you can get
better quality
in the store for less money.
I know. It's I mean, I think it's all one of those things. God knows that it all he works it all together for good, right? I mean, it's like an
yeah.
amazing thing, and it's going to put people back in touch with where their food comes from, where their farm comes from, and
yeah,
you know. So I think that's a blessing.
With regards to that report about COVID, I found this quote here. It says Genevieve Bryand, assistant program director of the Applied Economics Master's Degree Program at Johns Hopkins University, critically analyzed the impact that COVID-19 had on U.S. deaths. According to her, the impact of COVID-19 on deaths in the United States can be fully understood by comparing it to the number of total deaths in the country. According to the study, in contrast to most people's assumptions, the number of deaths by COVID-19 is not alarming. In fact, it has relatively no effect on deaths in the United States. And it says, after retrieving data on the CDC website, Bryant compiled a graph representing percentages, of total deaths per age category from early February to early September, which includes the period from before COVID-19 was detected in the U.S. to after infected rates soared. Surprisingly, the deaths of older people stayed the same before and after COVID-19. Since COVID-19 mainly affects the elderly, experts expected an increase in the percentage of deaths in older age groups. However, this increase is not seen from the CDC data. In fact, the percentage of deaths among all age groups remained relatively the same, and then they have a picture of this group with the different colors of the different age groups and over that time period, and they're, like they said, they're relatively the same. So I think that's significant that, well, number one, they pulled down the report right away, but number two, that there are ways that some of these IT geeks can pull that stuff back up and then get it out to the people.
Right.
Well, it's like one of the the people, one of the persons up in Alaska, the first person that died or the first person in, I can't remember what county I was reading about, but, you know, they said, oh, that, you know, they died of COVID. And, well, yeah, but they, the part of the equation that they left out was that they were 83 years old on hospice and had been given less than 4 months to live 5 months ago. So, you know, okay, you know, it's a really a band-aid, you know, blot thing that you can just throw out there and say, okay, they died of this. You know, I was reading the obituaries up in a town up in South Dakota. I have some family up there, and they had somebody that was 89 in a nursing home on hospice that died. And they died to complications with COVID. I mean, they put it in the obituaries, and it's like, geez, how stupid do you have to be? Now, as there people, is it affecting people? Absolutely. I know several people that it's personally affected. I know people that have tested positive and have gotten sick with it. But you know, a healthy immune system is something that, you know, everybody's worried about the virus. Well, you know, we've had swine flu after bird flu after this flu after that flu, and oh, it's the flu that's going to end the world. Well, they've taken this one to a different step, but you know what people need to be doing is taking care of their bodies, having a healthy immune system, making sure that they're, you know, that they're doing what they can do for their bodies. You know, when a healthy person gets it, it's not a big deal.
Amen.
Right. Well, it seriously makes you wonder about previous mass diseases, doesn't it? How pumped up they were, how much they were used for I don't have any statistics on it, but it just makes a guy wonder. So how much reprogramming or how much, you know, change did they make as a result of a lot of these other pandemics in the past? I mean, we know that their playbook's limited. You know, they seem to run the same plays all the time. So is this just another desperate attempt that they've trotted out to create a lot of these issues that we're seeing? You know, it kind of makes me wonder anyways.
Yeah. I don't know if you saw this, but I thought it was comical. On Black Friday, CNN ran a hypothetical runoff in the U.S. That basically showed a path for Trump to be president. Gotta imagine that a lot of CNN viewers probably had a coronary. But the reality is, if you look at the states that are in question right now, there's 13 ways basically that President Trump could win, which I believe he will, and then 10 that Biden path to success, they call it. But there's 3 to a tie. And what most people don't understand is this is how I think God sits in the heavens and he laughs and he scoffs at them, is there's 3 ways that this thing could go to the House of Representatives. And then you think, well, that's not good because they have the majority in the House. Well, it doesn't work that way. Essentially, each state, depending on the number of representatives that hold that state, cast one vote. So there's 50 total votes. And right now the Republicans have 29 states and the Democrats have 21. And the beauty of this whole thing is there's 3 ways to end up in that predicament, and Nancy Pelosi would be the one presiding over the vote that reaffirms Trump to another 4 years, which would probably do her in, which would be good too, and maybe Schumer too. So, you know, the Bible is not mocked. The Lord does sit in the heaven. You know, they make their plans, and the Lord does sit in the heaven. He laughs and he scoffs at them. And in fact, even right now, there's some significant things going on. Pennsylvania state legislator files resolution dispute statewide 2020 election results. That's significant because that's saying they're acknowledging that there's fraud and that the whole state of Pennsylvania's election may be null and void, which yeah. means that the legislators would be free to, I think, to vote whichever way that they want to. And unfortunately, that's a Republican state, but you hate to tie all this stuff to politics, but the reality is you know, we got good versus evil going on right now, and they're not hiding the fact that they want to kill all those that oppose them, oppose their God, the God of this world, Satan, and you know, there's only one way out of this thing, and that's through God's grace, mercy, and compassion, and through prayer, the supporting prayer of the righteous angels that are literally battling Leviathan in the high places right now. At least that's what I believe.
Amen. Amen, it is. It's, but, and it's because these things have been happening. You know, the voter fraud and the corruption and whatnot have been happening. But, you know, what's different is it's being brought to light. It's coming out. The light is being shined on it because more and more people are turning back to God. The more people have been praying for, guess what? The sorcery to cease. The bales to be broken and bound and cast down. And when it doesn't have to be, when we read through the Bible, it doesn't have to be the entire nation returning to God for him to hear the children cry out. But when some do, and I don't know the numbers, but some, but apparently enough have been, at least for these things to be brought to light. Because there's been voter fraud, there's been scams, there's been these politicians, you know, lying, stealing, cheating for years. And certainly it's, I agree. I think that they see it's a last ditch effort that they're making because they see their time, coming short, and their time running out.
Yeah.
But the things that they're doing, you know, they're coming to light. They're being made known.
Yeah. The reality is that there used to be at least some degree of fear of God in these people, and there is no fear of God in these people anymore. And that's why they pulled out all the stops. They basically think that they're God and that there's nothing that the God Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob can do to them. And I've got news for them. They're dead wrong. Dead wrong.
Amen.
But I thought this was thing two. I've said it before that it may come down to the patriots in this country defending freedom and defending our president. And President Trump sent out a tweet yesterday that said, Biden can only enter the White House as president if he can prove that his ridiculous 80 million votes were not fraudulently or illegally obtained. When you see what happened in Detroit, Atlanta, Philadelphia, Milwaukee, massive voter fraud, he's got a big unsolvable problem. And then yesterday I was reading, he had an address for un-Thanksgiving, you know, now they want to get rid of Thanksgiving because it's too much of a Christian holiday. Anyways, he had some sort of platform. I'm not sure if it was just an internet. I think it might have been an internet platform, but 1,000 people joined in to listen to him speak. And then as he was in his boat, his president-elect motorcade, which, go figure what's that all about, anyways, heading to his beach house, there was 4 people on the side of the road with 1 cameraman supporting him, you know. So they're not even doing a very good job of concealing their conspiracy when you look at, you know, the rallies with 15 people for Biden. And even now, after they've already claimed that Biden wins, Trump's got tens of thousands showing up all over the country. Apparently every Sunday in most of the capitals across the country, you got people showing up in protest to the stolen election. So it's significant things going on in the world today.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, and the whole world's looking at
the whole world's looking to the United States.
Yes, they are. They are. And the U.S. is still a mess. Antifa still fighting in Portland. You know, we talked 6 weeks ago about how it was 60 and 70 days that they were basically under siege every night, rioting, burning, looting, and murdering to get the initials right. And that's still going on, Antifa versus Portland. I saw a report this morning that the initial reports from Black Friday sales, dismal. That's usually, you know, the in this Babylonian commercialized you know, gotta have it system that we're in. The Black Friday usually sets the pace. That lets them know how holiday sales are going to be and how the retailers are doing and whatnot. the word was the crowds were slim during the Black Friday, whether it was online or not. We didn't go out and away from the ranch yesterday, but apparently nationwide it wasn't near what they were hoping. It wasn't near what the society has seen in the past. And I bring that up because things are changing. Things are changing. It's like the word came to me, John, when you were talking about this John Hopkins study, of a siege, that the nation's under siege. You know, in days of old, whether you see an old movie or you read about it, you know, when maybe they would go try to take a town or a castle or whatever it was, they, you know, you surround it and you cut off their water, you cut off their food, maybe you lay siege towers up against it so you can bombard it. We read about that all through the Old Testament, you know, how they would run out of food, they would run out of water, and because they were being taken captive. And I see these things that are happening today as that very thing. It's putting this land, this nation, under siege. We see it in the food system and in the water system. Tim, you mentioned that earlier, and it is that way with the food. You know, prices at the grocery store go up, up, up. Beef in the grocery store is at an all-time high. You go try to sell beef on the hoof, and it's low. It's low. Yeah, and so, you know, so you got somebody that's buying low and selling high, okay? But what does that do to the people? That puts them more and more in debt. It keeps that good food more and more away from them where they don't have that food available to them. We see the same thing happening with water. We see the same thing happening with health care. And with you know, people trying to stay healthy, and it's the values, it's the battle is certainly in the mind, but it's the values that are that have changed, to where the nation doesn't operate like it had in the past, and we just are seeing that more and more, and that was the word I wrote down. It's like the nation is under siege, that there's an enemy that is cutting off the food, cutting off the freedoms, doing their best to do it anyway. And it's to overtake and conquer. Have you guys heard? I've gotten two different from two different people. Comments about this fourth industrial revolution. I'll just throw that out there, because I've had two different people send emails and texts and say, hey, have you seen this? And regarding this so-called fourth industrial revolution that supposedly is going on, that's come in here in the 20th in 2020. And so I didn't know if had or not. We've only got about 10 minutes left in the program, but I think it's just a continuation of this Agenda 21 and 31 and 30, that, you know, blending of artificial intelligence and this 5G, 6G, supposed Great Reset, supposed, you know, everything being in the communication with each other. And I don't think that they're near where the people think they are. Bringing that together. But anyway,
you know, I think the Lord gave me a bit of a revelation with regards to what's really going on here. So notice how they've targeted the white race, right, as bad and all that, more than ever in my lifetime, you know, just recently. I don't know about if you guys have seen that as well, but think about it. So now they got this vaccine that admittedly alters your genetics, right? And may even introduce, you know, nanobot technology that the 5G activates, yeah, this, I mean, and that, it, and all that. And 70% of the people say they won't take it. But think about this, right? What are they really after? They're after polluting the genetics of the Adamic race. That's what they're after, polluting.
Always, right. Always have been. Always have been. They've been doing it in the physical. They've been doing it in the physical, especially the last few generations. But I think it's been mentioned before, it's just not happening fast enough for him. It's not happening fast enough. And so I think it's a great point. It's another, just the latest push to destroy Adam, to regain the birthright.
But, 70% are against it right now. But the thing is, when you can't fly, when your employer won't let you work, when they're saying to Amazon, you won't be able to purchase from Amazon, if you don't have this vaccine. I don't know how they'll do that. If I have to send some kind of certificate, who knows? But bottom line is, right now, they're saying that 70% would resist the vaccine. But when you start putting things attached to that versus traveling and flying and this and that, it could be the way that they'll try to control your ability to buy and sell.
Absolutely. How about you, if you can't go to the grocery store? I don't wear a mask when I go in the grocery store, but 99% of the other people are. And so how about when that gets to where the armed security force is there, and it's for your own good. It's for your own good. This is, don't you care about your neighbors? Don't you want them to be safe and healthy? I mean, they tug on the heartstrings. It's how they put it out. So how about if it is you can't buy groceries? What are you going to do then? How about, you pull up to the gas station, even self-serve. Oh, no, do you have your gloves? Do you have your certificate of, vaccination or whatever it is? Well, I'm sorry, only vaccinated people can get gas here. How about that? And folks, I think it's, like John says, it's getting real close to that. Now, what do we read about not have having to have that mark to buy or sell? Not saying this is the mark of the beast, but certainly that is not that far off to where we see it. We already see signs. You must. I went to the auto parts store the other day. You must wear a mask to enter this store. Now you go in and there's people in there that don't, and we ignore those things. But the signs are already there, literally. And figuratively, the signs are there that you have to conform to be here.
Notice how it doesn't say it's a law, though. It says it's a state order.
Right.
Well, state order don't mean anything. And there's, there's a lot of people that are standing up when they're coming into their businesses and stuff and say, go get a warrant. When you get a warrant, then you can come back. Other than that, get out of my place of business. Get off my private property, this and that. And that's the stand. We're at the point where we need to have a massive civil disobedience to the tyrannical antichrist demon rat push that's being placed upon the people.
Yes.
Yeah. They're going for broke. I mean, that's what they are. They're in their death throes. We know how dangerous things are with that. That was just like Jason was talking about that cafe over there, of Bruce's. If I knuckle under, I'm gone anyways. So what do I have to lose? That's the same attitude that these workers of iniquity that are out there doing all this stuff have. Yeah, they realize that their grasp is slipping. I mean, they have the loosest grasp on the affairs of things now that they've ever had. I mean, despite the fact that it looks like they're tenacious and very iron-handed in the news, the truth of the matter is there are just scads of people out there who are like, I will not comply. I'm not doing that. And they're going for broke too. And I think that's what we have to do. It's time to double down on the power of God and say, nope, we're done. We will not comply and we will not take part in this. I mean, one of the ones that was brought to my attention was Governor Phil Scott over there in Vermont yesterday, or Friday, actually, I think it was. It was the 25th or 24th, which would be Wednesday. But he put out that he was going to send a questionnaire out through the schools for the kiddies to fill out and tell on their parents whether they had larger Thanksgiving gatherings. And if they did, they were going to be punished with having to do 2 weeks of remote schooling. And from home and different things like that. I mean, this is the kind of mindset that they have. They're using literally every avenue available to them to bring down to you know, fabricate to force people into this ungodly mindset. And yeah, it's time to line up and go for broke in the name of Jesus Christ and God the Father. That no, not Amen. Happening.
Amen. So, you know, Isaiah 8. Verse 18, the last verse here this morning, says, "Behold, I and the children whom the Lord has given me are for signs and wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts who dwells on Mount Zion." And that's what the Christian today, the true follower, to quote you, John, the true follower of Jesus Christ, the true Christian, that's what he is to be today, is that sign and that wonder. And John, one more quote from you. You just have to... put your tongue on the top of your mouth and say no. You just have to say no to this great reset, to this new world order, to these plans that the enemy has. Well, folks, that's all the time we have this morning. I want to invite you to church tomorrow. You can come join us at the LaPorte Church of Christ, and you can do it without leaving your home. Just go to your computer. You can go to scripturesforamerica.org, starting at 8:30 Mountain, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern. You can click on the live video stream, and we'll have a church service for you in the morning, a live message, a timeless pulpit truth. That you want to see some prophecy that has come true or is coming true. I don't even know what the timeless pulpit truth will be tomorrow, but that's how they've been. And I am assured that's how tomorrow's will be as well. And so join us. Join us for fellowship with like-minded Christians. And so we encourage you to do that. Again, you can do that at scripturesforamerica.org. Click on the live video stream. And if you don't have that, we record it and send hundreds of DVD churches out on Monday. And so if you'd like to have that, you can contact us, and we'd be glad to put you on that list as well. Well, men, God bless, and we'll see you at church tomorrow.
We gotta walk, we gotta work, we gotta walk, we gotta win. Jesus Christ has said that he is coming in. Living in a wicked world made by sin. We gotta walk, we gotta work, we gotta warm, we gotta win. As the days of Noah were, will come the Son of Man. Eating, drinking, marrying, just doing all they can. Then one day the Lord will come, we'll hear that trumpet sound. The lost for the saved, but they will not be found. We gotta walk, we gotta work, we gotta warn, we gotta win. Jesus Christ has said that he is coming again. Living in a wicked world, plagued by sin. We gotta sin. We gotta walk, we gotta work, we gotta warn, we gotta win. God told Noah, make an ark. How to go for wood. Noah being warned of God, he did just like he should. Said Noah, bring them in two by two. Hey Noah, don't you forget your wife and children too. We gotta walk, we gotta work, we gotta warn, we gotta win. Jesus Christ has said that he is coming again. Living in a wicked world plagued by sin. We gotta walk, we gotta work, we gotta warn. Noah and his family, they said goodbye to friends. Grabbed all the animals and then they entered in. 7 days, 7 nights, they waited for the rain. Then the sky had opened up and for 40 days it came. We gotta walk, we gotta work, we gotta warn, we gotta win. Jesus Christ has said that he is coming again. Living in a wicked world plagued by sin. We gotta walk, we gotta work, we gotta warm, we gotta win.